Welcome to the Play Sleep Grow podcast. This episode reveals why sleep training doesn't always work. So freshen up that cup of coffee, switch that load of laundry before you forget, and listen in. You're listening to the Play Sleep Grow podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Thompson. I leveraged my skills as a speech-language pathologist to research and discover the gentlest and most effective sleep training methods and strategies available for our three children, successfully helping them learn to sleep through the night and take regular scheduled naps starting at 3, 4, and 5 months old respectively, effectively reclaiming confidence, structure, and peace in our home, and creating a better, healthier relationship with my husband and our children. On the show, you'll discover bite-sized, actionable strategies for all things baby's sleep and development, and avoid wasting time, money, and tears on strategies that simply don't work. You'll gain a sneak peek into the most reliable, evidence-based strategies available. You'll also get exclusive access and discounts to time-saving, headache-crushing tools and our unique Play Sleep Grow sisterhood to make your sleep training journey and your relationship with your child easier and more grace-filled than you ever dreamed possible. Subscribe now and listen in every Monday. So grab a cup of coffee, snuggle that baby close, and welcome. You belong here. Welcome back. I'm your host, Ashley Thompson, wife, mom, licensed speech-language pathologist, and certified pediatric sleep consultant. In today's episode, we'll be pulling back the curtain on why sleep training doesn't always work. I know, if you know me, you might be like, what? Keep listening. You may be surprised. You'll learn the top 5 reasons for sleep training failure and what to do if this describes you. So you tried sleep training, and it did not work. Why? Why in the world did it work for your sister or your best friend, but not you? What the heck is going on? This is the question we'll be answering today. I know this is incredibly frustrating because it feels like you and your baby suffered for nothing. But let me tell you this right away. It wasn't a waste. Because if you look back on your experience, it'll give you clues as to why it didn't work. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Some of the most common reasons why sleep training doesn't work. And what to do when sleep training doesn't work. Let's jump in because I'm betting you're anxious to get started. One of the most common reasons why sleep training didn't work for your child is medical reasons. And if this is the case, this is the reason that you'll want to jump on right away to solve. This is not the time to try and wait it out for baby to grow a bit more. If there's a medical reason behind your child's difficulty sleeping, like sleep apnea, laryngomalacia or tracheomalacia, reflux, dairy or other food intolerance, or some other medical reason, then no matter what strategy you use, no matter how hard you try, sleep training simply will not work. That's why it's imperative to rule out any medical reasons before you begin sleep training. And if you thought you did, but sleep training didn't work for you, then look back over your sleep training journey. Look at what happened to prevent your child from connecting sleep cycles. Look at their daytime and their nighttime sleep. What possible symptoms do you see? If you see any symptoms, now is the time to contact the pediatrician and discuss this situation with them. Let's shift gears now and talk about a second common reason why sleep training doesn't work. This reason is parent discomfort. If one or more parents is uncomfortable with the process or insistent that it won't work, then chances are it won't. This is twofold. First, your child can read your emotions. If you're desperate or highly anxious or some other strong negative emotion about this process, especially when you're going through the bedtime routine and method, your child will observe that emotion in you and respond to it. And believe me, as a highly anxious mother myself, one with diagnosed anxiety and depression and a history of obsessive compulsive disorder, I do understand. Your emotions are your emotions, and they're valid. The thing is, if they're interfering with your sleep training success, then we need to unpack those emotions and figure out how to ease them before we start sleep training. Does that make sense? Whether that's with the help of a psychiatrist, psychologist, or counselor, or using strategies you've learned over the years to help you work through and manage your fears and anxieties. For me, this included using two breathing monitors while we sleep trained. Yes, two. Back when the outlet monitor still gave alerts for low O2 sats and low and high heart rate, we used the Owlet Smart Sock and the Snooze a Hero at the same time. Some people, including my parents, may have thought that was overkill. But for me, it was about managing my anxiety and giving me peace of mind so both my child and I could get the sleep we needed. If this is your concern too, this is what I recommend. First and foremost, discuss your child's level of SIDS risk with your child's pediatrician. SIDS is sudden infant death syndrome, and I don't mention this to scare you. I just mention it because it's something to be aware of and take precautions for. Talking to your pediatrician may help you feel more comfortable, and if it doesn't, then you can discuss with them a plan to monitor your baby while they sleep. If your baby has a genetic or medical risk factor, a predisposition for SIDS, they may suggest monitoring, such as a medical grade pulse ox or something else, or they may not. As far as I'm aware, the outlet sold in the U.S. no longer alerts for low oxygen or low or high heart rate. I believe it might still monitor the levels, but it doesn't alert for it. And the Snooze a Hero doesn't monitor oxygen stats, like oxygen saturation, but it does monitor breathing rate. And if your baby hasn't moved in a specified amount of time, it buzzes to try to stimulate your baby to breathe. And if that doesn't work, it screeches its alarm. In our experience with our three children, the Snooze a Hero has also worked longer and more consistently than the outlet. We've cycled through a number of outlets because the ones we had tended to stop charging after a few months. But we used the same Snooze a Hero for all three of our kids without it stopping working. And this is a very important note. The outlet monitor is not marketed as a medical device and should not be used as such. The Snooze a Hero has an MD version. I believe that's considered a medical device version that their website claims is certified as a medical device. But before you use it as a medical device, make sure you clear it with your pediatrician first. As of the time of this episode's recording, which is April 17th, 2023, this MD version is not sold in the U.S. So there is a good chance that as of now, it's not certified as a medical device in the U.S. And as far as I'm aware, neither device claims to prevent SIDS. This means that it can help you monitor your baby and bring you peace of mind, but you still need to take all the safe sleep precautions at the same time. No sleep monitor gives permission to stop using safe sleep practices. And if you're anxious about SIDS like I am, chances are that makes perfect sense to you. Another aspect of sleep training that parents tend to become anxious about is their baby's crying and discomfort. On the internet and social media, there are more and more myths and parent shaming flying around that demonize sleep training, saying horrible things like it just teaches your child that you won't respond. What a terrible, horrible thing to imagine, right? let me bring you some facts. Many of these claims are based on a single study, done on children who were being raised in an orphanage, not in America, children that were never responded to, day or night. I'd venture a guess saying that this is nothing like what your home situation is, and I can promise you that that is not what healthy sleep training looks like. I personally don't use the cry it out method, nor do I use it with my clients unless that is what the parents explicitly prefer. And even in that situation, that is nowhere near the same as what is described in this study. Additionally, and anecdotally, I can assure you that my children, who were sleep trained, still cry out or come to get me in the night when they really need something. It's not every single night, maybe a few nights a month. And during the day, believe me, they make their wants and needs known. Sleep training, when done properly, does not train your child to not call out for you when they need something. Sleep training, when done properly, helps your child learn how to self-soothe. Yes, that's a real thing. Match their sleep times to their circadian rhythm and connect their sleep cycles. As a speech pathologist, I will also say, crying is a form of communication. It's good. It's healthy. When your baby has colic and it definitely does not feel good and healthy, and that is not what I'm referring to right now. Crying, typical crying, tells us when our baby needs something, like a feed, a diaper change, to be burped, warmer clothing, etc. Crying can also indicate things like discomfort, tiredness, grumpiness, things that simply mean baby needs to sleep or baby is simply grumpy. Feelings are feelings. Our kids are allowed to be grumpy. They're allowed to have feelings. If they need us to solve something for them, like giving them a feed or changing their diaper, then obviously we're going to do that. But if they're just tired or grumpy, then sometimes they simply need to fall asleep or be allowed to be grumpy or frustrated. Once we sleep train our children, it actually helps us to differentiate these cries because we learn the difference between the "my belly hurts" cry and the "I'm overtired" cry. So the moral of the story is, if one or more parents are uncomfortable with the method of sleep training that you're using, then you need to come to a consensus. You need to agree that you're either going to give this method a fair shot, or you need to agree on an alternate method, or to pause your efforts and try again at a scheduled time. And do note, sleep training is not for everyone. Some parents agree that sleep training in any form is not for them, and that is 100% your prerogative as parents. As long as you and your children are all experiencing safe, healthy sleep, that is the number one priority. And a plan still needs to be discussed about that. Where are the kids going to sleep? Who's going to respond to night wakings? How will you respond? How will you ensure that both parents are getting the sleep they individually need? How are you going to ensure time and opportunity to build your relationship with your spouse or parenting partner? And how are you going to plan for and ensure safe sleep? A third common reason why sleep training doesn't work is implementing the wrong schedule. Your child's sleep-wake schedule is a delicate balance. Your kiddo needs a specific amount of sleep. It's individual, based on your child. There are averages based on your child's age, but really it's down to what your child needs. And it's divided carefully across day and nighttime sleep. This is based on how much total sleep your child needs, their current wake windows, whether they need consistent or variable wake windows, and more. And note this, newborns can have a pretty varied sleep schedule from day to day. Once they're 3 months and up, that sleep schedule should start to look more consistent from day to day. This can be a tricky and confusing part of sleep training. So if you're stumped, I guarantee you, you're not alone. If you want a second set of eyes, send me a copy of your child's sleep-wake schedule, along with their age and any relevant medical history, like prematurity, and I'll check it over and we can discuss if it looks typical for their age or not. I'll drop a clickable link in the show notes to make this easier. And if it's a quick answer, you can bet that I'll just respond via email. And if it's a more complicated answer, I do offer both quick fix calls and full sleep plans if and when needed. A fourth common reason why sleep training doesn't work is accidentally choosing the wrong sleep training method. There are a myriad of methods out there, and some methods are well suited to your family and your child, and some are not. If you choose the wrong methods, try to figure out why that method didn't work for your child or family, so the next method you choose can be better suited to your needs. Now, let's talk about a fifth and final reason why sleep training doesn't work: flying solo. Some families do great flying solo, meaning choosing their sleep method, figuring out their child's optimal sleep-wake schedule, staying consistent and accountable, and problem-solving along the way. They figure it out and it works great. Other families need help, whether that's because they simply don't have the time to figure it out or it's not their zone of genius, whatever the case may be. Some families even sleep train their child successfully in the beginning, and down the line, they need help. One of my families that I've worked with successfully sleep trained their daughter as a baby, and once she was a toddler, she had a number of illnesses back to back. And after she was finally healthy again, they couldn't figure out why their old strategies to get her back on track weren't working. So we worked together for a few weeks and we got her back on track. And then recently, their daughter hit a new stage of development. She's now approaching the preschool age. And now, because of her level of development and her new sleep associations, she needed a whole different sleep method. We've been working together for a few weeks, and I am happy to report that she's once again falling asleep independently and putting herself back to sleep at night when necessary. And this is a family who are all stars at understanding why the sleep plan works and following through. Truly one of my favorite families that I've worked with. They just needed help. Over the years, I've learned that the further along in your parenting journey you get, the more you realize that sometimes you just have to ask for help. Every parent needs help sometimes. There's no need to drag out your misery and pretend like you don't need help if you do. Ask for help. Get to the other side of your sleep problem. It's time. If you're thinking, yes, this is me, I'll drop a clickable link in the show notes so you can schedule a free 15-minute sleep evaluation call at a time that's most convenient for you so we can figure out what's going on with your baby's sleep, whether I can help, and if I can, what our plan will be moving forward. That's all for today. Today we discussed 5 common reasons why sleep training doesn't work and what to do if sleep training doesn't work for you. You're listening to the Play Sleep Grow podcast. I'm Ashley Thompson, and I can't wait to see you next time. Now go snuggle that clever baby of yours. It's time for them to play, sleep, grow. Ending legal note. Please remember that this is a podcast for personal use. It is not medical advice and should not be considered or used as such. I am not a medical sleep professional. And though I am a pediatric sleep consultant and speech-language pathologist, the information I present on this podcast is general information that I have gathered through my own education, research, and experience, and not specific to you or your child. Before implementing any ideas or suggestions I may provide, please clear it with your or your child's doctor first.